I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves. 8 to 4. All right, folks, we are back with another edition of the Red and White Podcast. It's an off-season pod, and I wouldn't be the same if we weren't having issues. Chance and I are having communication trouble, so I hope this records properly. If it doesn't, so be it. Chance, how are you doing?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Good. I will be happier when you are back in the mainland with proper internet connection. I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah, Carteret County is great, but it's certainly a bit behind the times on these things, including the Puckett residents.
All right, I got to start off with, did you see Tuffy 3?
Yes, I did. And let me just tell you, I am absolutely livid that we're out here spending money on breeding dogs instead of new baseball stadiums. This is absolutely ridiculous.
As outrageous as
Tuffy 3 was, it is ridiculous that we are spending money on such such baseless things when we could be putting it towards a baseball stadium. This is blasphemous.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Tuffy 3 is the most adorable thing I've ever seen. It's amazing. But yeah, wasn't there something in regards to in regards to the baseball stadium? Didn't somebody say something?
Well, I think a lot of people that I saw on Twitter and Instagram, personally, I didn't think it had anything to do with it. I wasn't expecting the new mascot. But when the Pack Athletics account tweeted out the little Listen Up Wolfpack Nation thing, I think a lot of people kind of thought we were getting something with the baseball stadium. There were a lot of tweets and comments on Instagram about it. I didn't think that would be it. There's no way in such a short period of time that they were going to announce a new baseball stadium or renovation plans after less than a month after the whole discombobulation in Omaha. But
I
think a lot of people bought that. So I do think there were some people who were genuinely disappointed that it was literally a new pit for the university.
What it was Elliot Avent. Speaking at Team USA baseball, saying that he was mentioning Barstool and the support that they were getting, and I guess he was talking about, he had mentioned something about raising money for the new stadium, kind of in passing. That must have been what I was thinking about.
Yeah, I know I know he kind of shouted out Portnoy and like all the stuff he's posted through the Barstool accounts and whatnot. I did see all that. And I think that's cool. I wish, you know, not to beat a dead horse, I wish we could have kind of used that for leverage a bit more than we did. But, you know, it is what it is.
It's funny because I wasn't going to bring it up, but obviously it was going to come up. But I have spoken with so many State fans who were just, I think they kind of agree with maybe my point of view is that they got screwed, but the biggest misstep was the fact that we didn't capitalize on them being in the moment.
And exactly.
So many State fans, like a lot of State fans that I've talked to have all brought it up at some point and very early in the conversation, like, who was there for us? Why didn't we capitalize on this? What are we doing? Like, what is our leadership doing? So, not going to go through it all.
Wish I could tell you.
I know. I'm really curious how those first few Wolfpack caravans are going to go.
They're not going to go well. I mean, there's no way they're going to go like well, right? Like, let's just kind of go ahead and put that out there. Like, you know, if Doran's there or Keats is there, they might be okay. But, like, if Boo is there, like, there is just going to be this, like, weird awkwardness over the crowd. And I hope he handles it well, but I would not want to be in his shoes in that situation of being at, you know, whatever country club in Charlotte and all these Wolfpack club donors are just kind of sitting there with their arms folded looking at you, angry about this whole situation. And you're just, like, trotting out, like, whoever you want to bring out there for your caravan, and you're just trying to like kind of rally the troops, and everybody's just kind of sitting there angry. I wouldn't want to be in Boo's shoes come caravan season in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I think it's starting up soon. I agree. I think they roll out Dave and bring in Boo last, right? They don't set the tone with him.
Right.
Because that would, but you never know with State and, you know, misreading the room.
That might be what happens.
But regards to baseball on the positive side, maybe not positive side, a bunch of guys got drafted later than we expected. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you could absolutely say that. This is another thing that, let's be real, like the university has to take advantage of. We just had 8 players from our actual roster pick. That doesn't include transfers. That doesn't include commits. And literally, as we record this, we've got 2 players playing in the All-Star game. So not even to talk about the Omaha stuff, like let's kind of capitalize from a recruiting standpoint and a fundraising standpoint about the fact we just had 8 players drafted, which is tied for the 3rd most in the country, as well as we've got 2 alums playing in the Midsummer Classic, the biggest, you know, baseball event that takes place from opening day until when the playoffs start. So let's take advantage of that. Why don't we at least try to this time, make an effort? How about that, guys?
I think again, that moment has passed. You know, maybe the draft, they can capitalize on it, but it's just disappointing again. You're right. I thought about it a little bit last night. I was watching the Home Run Derby and Trey Turner's out there with Juan Soto and, you know, jumping around with him. And like, I'm thinking, why don't we put Trey Turner everywhere? Like, you know
I mean? Trey Turner, the guy who throughout their entire World Series run in 2019 was celebrating with the state football helmet on. Like, it's not like that guy could help us at all or anything.
Yeah. Right. He doesn't love the university a bit. Right. Not at all.
Not even the slightest little bit.
Yeah. I feel like all I do is bash this. All I do is bash this university sometimes, man. But they just give you so many reasons to be disappointed. Right. And I'm like, now we're not even talking about athletics at this point. Right. Just.
Absolutely. It's help me help you. We bash the university and we get frustrated with them because we love them and because we want them to succeed, whether it be football or basketball or baseball or women's tennis or whatever it is. Like, we want to see them be successful. I just wish like some people would kind of wake up and smell the roses or wake up and see the opportunities that are literally standing right in front of them. Carlos made a comment after he threw his no hitter that Elliot Avent texts him before every single start. Like, clearly he has a good relationship with the coaching staff, which is his direct contact from the university. That should mean he therefore has a good relationship with the university. Why aren't we taking advantage of that? That guy's literally an MLB All-Star. He's playing in the All-Star game right now. So is Trey Turner. Take advantage of that.
How did Ohtani's pitching day thing go today?
He didn't give up a run, I believe. I've kind of been watching it on and off. I had some work to do on the laptop. But he grounded out twice when he was hitting, but he looked pretty good on the mound.
Okay. Yeah, I think he got a little nervous with the Home Run Derby last night.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you could see it early on, and they kept mentioning he was pulling balls instead of just swinging. And yeah, you could tell.
Yeah, he was hitting line drive after line drive after line drive. He just wasn't hitting anything out of the park really until the second half of his allotted time.
Yep. Yeah. It's interesting to watch the story. Like, I hadn't really watched Major League Baseball in many years, but I've been paying attention to this guy. Like, he's something else.
Me and like some of my friends from work were talking about it. A friend, one of my coworkers, is writing a paper about how she thinks like he is currently one of the greatest athletes in history, just because he is literally doing things that haven't been done since Babe Ruth was playing baseball. And he is single-handedly making baseball more interesting to watch, whether you're a diehard MLB fan or whether you're an extremely casual MLB fan. Like, he is making this sport more interesting to watch from a storyline standpoint, from a between-the-line standpoint. It is a shame that both him and Mike Trout, their talent is being wasted in that terrible organization in Anaheim, California.
Get Chance on an MLB rant. That's a good one.
That's dangerous right there.
MLB is about as good at marketing their players as we are. And
they're probably worse than we are. Let's just cut to it.
It's pretty bad. Like, my wife had she watches the news and watches TV and had not heard of this guy at all. So explain to her why he was so good during the All-Star, the Home Run Derby last night.
Mike Trout's been the face of the MLB for nearly 10 years. I feel like he could walk down the street of a city on the East Coast and nobody would know who he was.
I would have no idea who Mike Trout. I mean, like, I know the name, but I would know how I could look right at him. I wouldn't know who he was. Yeah.
And even though you're not a huge MLB fan, I would certainly classify you as an above average super hardcore sports fan in general. Do you know how sad that is to hear? Like,
yeah, it's crazy, right?
Bad that is. That what was once America's most popular sport, like, now people don't know what the faces of the sport look like when it's as accessible now as it's ever been.
Yeah. Speaking of faces of the sport, a bunch of state guys got drafted, as we mentioned. A couple things. I'm not going to go through them all. I want to get your take on a couple things. Khalil Watson, supposed to go top five, and he dropped to 16 to Miami. He's the shortstop from Wake Forest that was committed to state. Everybody knew he was going pro, so not really a big deal. But he dropped a lot. Do you know why? Have you heard anything why?
I mean, there was a lot of craziness that was going on in the top five picks. Henry Davis was the number one overall pick. He's the catcher out of Louisville to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Everybody in the world thought he was going to go fifth to the Orioles. And a lot of people thought Watson was going to go fourth to the Red Sox. Well, when the Pirates picked him, everybody thought they were going to go with Lawler or Marcello, who were the two big high school shortstop prospects, and neither of those guys got picked in the top two because the pitcher who NC State beat in the 2021 College World Series, he was actually selected second by the Texas Rangers, in case you didn't know. I don't really know. I do know a lot of Miami fans were ecstatic that they got Watson. I think Seattle was picking 13th. A lot of Seattle fans on Twitter really wanted him from what I saw. I don't know if it was just a situation of people didn't think that some guys that were actually available weren't going to be available or what it was. Like with Lawler and Marcello, neither one of them being the top number one pick when everybody in the world thought it would be one of those two guys. I think a lot of people kind of thought that the Orioles might then pick him, but then they didn't at five. I mean, you saw a couple big names fall. I mean,
yeah,
screw Vanderbilt, but Kumar Rocker falls all the way to 10 with the Mets. I don't think anybody really saw that happening. I have one really good friend who's a big Orioles fan, and he was livid they didn't pick Rocker at five. I don't know if they didn't like inexperience. I don't know if they just – it's a classic draft day with Kevin Costner situation of nobody knows why he's falling, so we're just going to continue to let him fall. I don't really know what it was. I don't know if he didn't impress in workouts, but as happy as Miami fans seemed to get him and as highly touted as he was before the draft, it was certainly odd to see him fall all the way to 16.
Yeah, there's a couple other ones. I assume – all right, let me back up. Maybe you know the answer to this, and I'm not sure if you would or not, but having paid attention to the MLB draft, is there like a round that if you were – MLB draft, I think, is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Just the way they do it, and there's a gazillion rounds and 1,000 picks. And
you're absolutely right.
It's ridiculous. Like,
absolutely right.
They tried to make it exciting last night, and it was just – it was no good. But my question becomes, with so many rounds – what is the cutoff for when it makes sense for a guy to return? Like, you know, Austin Murr selected in the 6th, and then our next guy was Johnny Butler in the 14th round. Like, that's right. A big gap there. Do the later rounds mean guys are more likely to return to school?
I think so, just because there's really not enough slot money. Baseball's draft works a little bit differently with the slot money and what you're allotted to spend in the draft, that there could be guys who are picked later that are actually paid more than people who got picked higher. It's really weird. The baseball draft is so dumb. Baseball's such a dumb sport in general. But anyway, I definitely think that once this year with the 10th round being kind of the halfway point, I do think that that could kind of be what separates some people. That's kind of what I'm hoping for with so many state guys picked on the back half of the draft. I do hope that there is maybe some situations where some guys do want to come back. I think that's a legitimate chance. There's a couple guys, the guys from state that were picked after the 10th round were, like we said, Johnny Butler in the 14th round to Oakland. Peyton Green, who is a commit, was taken in the 15th round. I believe he signed with Boston. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure Peyton Green was taken by Boston. Terrell Tatum in the 16th round to the White Sox. Luca Tresh in the 17th round to Kansas City. And Reed Johnson in the 19th round to Cleveland. I know a Kansas City reporter said he thought that they would be able to make some slot money around, but he had heard Tresh was planning on coming back. I've kind of heard from multiple people Tresh is thinking about coming back. I've heard Tatum is on the fence. To me, I'm kind of surprised at that because I think Tatum and Tresh, their draft stock is probably as high as it's going to get unless one of them just have a huge year if they were to come back in 2022. I don't really see their stock getting any higher than what it is right now. I know Tresh was very highly ranked and he was like ranked as a top 150, 120 prospect. And for him to get picked, it almost picked 500. I think he was picked 499. That's got to be really disappointing. Part of me hopes to believe that that's because he wanted to come back, but I'm also not really sure. I don't know if just teams didn't like what they saw or what.
I don't know, man. It's so weird. I don't understand Johnny Butler. We were talking about this in the pod chat where the guy, and I tweeted out earlier too, the guy hit maybe around or at 400 in the ACC or in the league play. And all during the draft, they were talking about, hey, the new baseballs, they're picking guys who are, you know, plate discipline, not striking out, getting walks, getting on base. Freaking all Johnny Butler does is get on base.
Mr. Consistent, and he didn't get taken to the 14th round. It's crazy.
That doesn't make any sense to me. There are guys like, there's prospects, high school kids getting taken, and just I'm sitting here thinking, I mean, what has Johnny Butler done wrong? That was so weird. I don't know. I don't understand.
I don't know if there's a skeleton in this closet or what, but I just kept watching his name fall and watching his name fall and watching his name fall and thinking like, the guy who was the ACC's – the highest batting average in the ACC is falling to the 14th round? Like, are you kidding? He was the fifth player drafted from NC State. Like who do you think – like, honest question. Do you think Johnny Butler was the best baseball player on this team this past year? Because I can say that, yeah, I think so, and say that pretty confidently. I would have taken him much earlier than 14th. But personally and selfishly, I am hoping that because he was taken so late, that does kind of steer him to want to come back to school and maybe improve his stock going into next year's draft.
ACC Scholar Athlete of the Year, Johnny Butler. Like,
right, I forgot he was named Scholar Athlete. Good for him.
What else can that guy do? And he drops to the 14th round. I just don't understand. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And that I was hoping you did. You might know, but it doesn't. It's really strange. I'm curious to see what these guys do. I don't expect anybody taking in, you know, maybe the top six rounds to come back. But when you talk about 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, these rounds, these guys, I mean, I got to think they got to come to school. I don't know what the money is per round. It's something weird with slots and stuff.
Right. It's the whole money situation is so weird. I'm not even going to begin to get into it. Just from a strictly, like, just kind of keeping it back on the players. McDonough has already signed for $831,000 with the Red Sox. He was picked in the third round. Good for Tyler McDonough. I think he's really going to play some second base. We've kind of talked about this in the chat. He was recruited to state as a second baseman, but we've just pretty much heard that JT Jarrett is too good of a defensive player to not keep him there. So shout out to Tyler McDonough in his career at state. I don't really think I fully appreciated how good of a center fielder that he was, especially considering that isn't his natural position. Like, yeah, thinking about some of the plays he had defensively, like, that is wild to think about. Jose Torres was also taken in the third round at 89th overall to Cincinnati. Evan Justice in the fifth round to Colorado, and Austin Murr in the sixth round to Detroit. That's everybody in the top 10 rounds out of state. And I fully expect for all four of those guys, plus Khalil Watson, there's a good chance that as an 18-year-old, Khalil Watson is getting ready to sign like a contract for nearly $5 million. So good for him.
Hope his parents are around for him. Josh Hamilton.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious what these guys do. I looked it up. The slot round up to the 10th round, slot round value is $150,000, about that. So that's what these guys would sign a contract for. But it doesn't – it didn't get into 14 through 20, so it's got to be way worse. And here's another opportunity where if NC State had their shit together and, you know, Johnny Butler sitting there at 14, like, does NC State want Johnny Butler back? Yeah, hell yeah. Like, maybe Johnny Butler can get an NIL deal, right? Maybe they could set him up with something, by somebody, right? Or help organize that. And I think that, you know, that's just another example of where that could benefit and how we should be on top of these things. I don't know if they are or they aren't, but, you know, there's no indication otherwise.
I mean, there's a state baseball alum in my hometown that runs a very successful construction company. Like, you don't mean to tell me maybe we should hook these guys up with one another? Maybe that would work. I don't know. I wish there was a way that I hope we are promoting this NIL stuff in a positive manner to athletes that are in situations like this. I know baseball was kind of weird with how the draft works, and you get until, I believe it's August 1st, to decide whether or not that you're going to come back. So I do hope that the university and the baseball staff and the athletic department in general is using NIL in a positive manner. I mean, if you're Johnny Butler, let's just be real. Like, I personally would think playing baseball at state, playing at one of the highest levels in the league, in the country, in the ACC, and living a college lifestyle, like, that's got to be better than playing in Double A for the Toledo Mud Hens and taking 9-hour bus rides to Des Moines, right? Like, I just, like, unless you were just, like, absolutely dead set on being in the pros and being a quote-unquote professional baseball player, even though you're in the minor leagues, I just can't imagine, like being that dedicated to, like, you're so dead set on being in the minors that you wouldn't even consider coming back to school, especially when you fall like Johnny Butler did. I would maybe understand it if you're Terrell Tatum and I don't really know how much you can improve your stock, or Luca Tresh and I don't really know how you can improve your stock, or Reed Johnson, where I even think Reed fell, but I mean, next year would be Reed's fifth year in school. I think he could improve his stock, but I think State's pitching staff is going to be pretty solid already. I don't really know how that situation is going to fare with Reed. I feel like from some stuff he's posted on Instagram, he's gone. But I just don't really see a way that minor league baseball is that much better of a choice than playing in the ACC at a top-tier program in the ACC at the same time, especially now with all the NIL stuff.
Yeah, Reed Johnson went in the 19th round. And I agree, like, it's – from what I was told and what I heard from a couple people, that any of our guys, this was supposed to be that any of our guys who got drafted were most likely bouncing. But I wonder if they were expecting not to be in the 19th and 20th rounds and, you know, down there like that. So I wonder if that changes things. But I agree with you, with NIL should be what we're pitching to these guys right now. Something right here. It's not the NFL money, or Jesus, not the MLB money, but it's better than, like you said, 60K a year and riding single lay bus rides in the middle of, you know, farms.
Right. One of my buddies texted me today and he just said, like, yeah, good luck. Like, we were just talking about, like, how the minors can be so humbling, and it's like, yeah, good luck with 9-hour bus rides and living with five other guys in a 2-bedroom apartment. The minor league life isn't all it's chalked up to be. Bull Durham is a lot more realistic than people think it is. Let's just be real about that. So, yeah, but going back to what you were saying, like, you can't tell me that Johnny Butler was expecting to be taken in the 14th round. Like, that's crazy. Like, that's ridiculous. Right. You can't tell me he was expecting that. So maybe he is considering coming back to state. That would be a huge victory for Avent and company if he did manage that.
I'm really curious what those conversations are and what's happening. I think Avent is recruiting these guys like, hey, man, come on back. We can do this again. You know, that would be – you saw the projections. You posted the D1 baseball projection. 9 guys had us projected into the College World Series for next year.
4 out of 9.
4 out of 9. And, I mean, if you bring back the bulk of your lineup with Butler, Tatum, Tresh, you know, I think if you can bring some of those guys back, that makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. With all the pitching that we think there's a good chance we'll get back, with the recruiting class we've got coming in, with some of these transfers that, Lord help us, may or may not be coming in. We'll get to that in a bit. You know, who knows what could be in the cards for State next year. State's going to have a chance to be really good, like extremely good, have a chance to be back in Omaha next year. If you're Avent and the rest of the coaching staff, you've really got to be pitching that. I know Austin Staley, who pitched at State, and I believe he was the director of baseball operations or was a volunteer assistant at some point at State. Like, he was tweeting out, like, if you're not taken in the first 5 or 6 rounds, like, you need to go to college, get your education, and improve your stock, get experience playing at the Division I level, and especially in a level like the ACC or the SEC. Go get that experience and have that opportunity to grow in college. It's a lot easier to grow in college to me than it is to grow playing for the Carolina Mudcats.
Yeah, I don't know. I forgot also my train of thought. I'm still thinking. I'm trying to figure out what happened with Johnny Butler. It still bothers me. What was I going to say? It's baseball related. I mean, this would be next year's team. If next year's team is really good, that'd be 3 years in a row that they've had a really good baseball team. Because the COVID canceled season, they were really good too.
Right. They were, what, 15-2, 14-3, something like that before COVID?
Yeah. I don't know. It'd be interesting. I guess we have until August 1st. Is that the deadline for us these guys to decide?
Believe so. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm banking on it. I can't. I'm curious now. I've never paid attention this closely to seeing these draft, like if the late round draft picks still go pro. I don't know. College has got to be more fun than, you know, what, single A, and then there's even like leagues below that, and I'm spacing
out. Like indie league teams and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. You must really have to really love baseball, I think.
Absolutely. And you must be, like I said, dead set on having a professional baseball career if that is truly what you want to do. But even if you're dead set on that, like, maybe the minors isn't always the quickest option to begin with.
Yeah. Interesting. Did Rodon get in the game yet?
I don't think Rodon did. The game just ended. The American League won 5-2. I don't think Rodon pitched. I just got the notification on my phone. I know Turner played for a little while.
He did not. Yeah, okay.
Dang, that stinks.
Boo! Carlos is great, man. The highlight that went around the other day where he threw 100 miles an hour on his 104th pitch. It's absurd.
He
is
very quietly having a fantastic year. Like, everybody's all, the story in the American League has been Otani. The story in the National League has been Jake DeGrom. Rodon is putting together a heck of a season.
Speaking of, you mentioned it a second ago, and I forgot to ask you, transfers, what's the deal with, how does that work? Guy gets drafted trying to transfer. Didn't that one of that guys?
So two State players were actually taken back-to-back, pick 586 to Boston and 587 to Baltimore. Josh Hood, who's the transfer out of Penn, he's a shortstop. He was, like, heralded as going into the 2020 season. He was the unanimous Ivy League Freshman of the Year in 2019. He was ranked as one of the top 15 shortstops in the country going into 2020. Obviously, COVID killed the 2020 season. He was off to a fast start last year. he's transferring the state. Like I said, he was picked in the 20th round to Boston. Trendon Craig, an outfielder out of Lewisburg College, who, if you read my pre-draft piece on the Red White Network, which is you can go back and read now, but if you look and saw his numbers, those were absolutely ridiculous at Lewisburg, yeah, which is one of the better, more respected JUCO programs really in all of the country. I hope both of those guys do make it to state in the fall. I think both those guys would absolutely be starters come the spring. I think that Peyton Green, who was the commit taken by Boston in the 15th round, would be an immediate starter. I think those guys could all three have gigantic impacts on next year's team. Green's a Raleigh kid, so I'm kind of hoping that that will lead him to come to state. Personally, I do think both the transfers will make it to campus in the fall, knock on wood, both Hood and Craig. I just think they can do a lot of improving their draft stock, playing at the ACC level, which is obviously bigger than either one of them have ever been at, with Josh Hood being an Ivy League kid and Craig being on the junior college circuit. As good as their careers have been, I think being at the ACC would really help them and kind of push them to the next level of being a serious professional prospect, not just a minor league prospect. So I hope they see that, and I hope that they realize that.
It's wild that they have basically 2 weeks to decide.
Right. What a stupid rule. We've talked about how stupid the draft is and how stupid of a sport baseball is. What a stupid rule that you're 18, 19 years old and you've got like 2 weeks to decide what your career fate will be.
Right? Yeah, that's crazy. I can't get back to Johnny Butler. There can't be 427 better prospects out there.
Like, I agree.
There can't be. It just blows my mind. I'm thinking, sitting here thinking, What did he do? It's not, Kelvin Harmon tested slow. He hit
405 in the regular season in a 12-week ACC schedule. Do you know how impressive that is? That is so good. He was the ACC batting champion, and he didn't get picked until 428 by Oakland. That is so stupid. I know that's beating a dead horse, but God, baseball is so dumb.
I just don't understand that. That's so strange. But
he's fast. He runs well. He feels right? Well. Yeah. I just don't understand it. It's crazy.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And again, I've thought this for a long time with the baseball draft. It makes no sense. Like, how many farm teams are they drafting for? Makes me wonder. There's so many.
I mean, usually there's 40. They literally cut the draft in half. Like, it's ridiculous that, like, we're talking 40. About how big the draft is. It's literally half the size that it typically is.
Oh, my God. Okay. Enough of baseball. Baseball's stupid.
Also, before we get off the topic of baseball, I will ask you this honest question. 8 months ago, did you think you would be talking about on the Red White podcast about whether or not Lewisburg Junior College baseball transfers would be headed to the draft after being picked in the final round, or if they'd make it to campus in the fall? That's a genuine question.
No, genuine question or genuine answer. I didn't think I'd be talking this much baseball. Right? we've done, I don't know, half dozen podcasts on baseball.
Probably so, yeah.
You know, we're getting close to episode 200 of the podcast, and that's more than we've talked baseball in the other 999 episodes. You know, it's and I enjoy it. You know, watching the All-Star game last night and or the Home Run Derby, and just thinking, yeah, baseball. You know, I used to watch baseball all the time, and this is cool. But I really like the college baseball, so I'm probably gonna watch it more often.
College baseball. I enjoyed it, and I know this is not at all a hot take coming from me, but college baseball is the most underrated sport on the planet. And I've said it before, I think if college baseball got the equal amount of coverage that college basketball did, I think it would probably pass college basketball in ratings. I think it's a better product from start to finish. I mean, in college basketball, literally the first 2 months of the season is state playing local community colleges. Sometimes we lose to those local community colleges.
Yeah, seriously.
I have a feeling that might happen once or twice this year. But, you know, yeah. I think from start to finish, it's a better product. And if you were to give college baseball more accessibility and more coverage, I really do genuinely believe it would surpass college basketball in terms of popularity.
I can see that. I mean, if you watch, you watch the regional games and you watch all, you know, super regionals, and it was a lot of fun. Right? Those were good games. I enjoyed it. I don't know. Hope they make the games a little easier to watch next year.
Absolutely. I've said it before. I wish the ACC network for baseball on Saturdays would adopt something similar to what they do for football, with like a 12 o'clock game, a 4 o'clock game, and like a 7:30 game. I think that would be fantastic to kind of garner interest and get viewers. I mean, you're in probably the second best baseball conference in the country, not at all very far behind the SEC. I think there were 68 SEC players drafted and 63 ACC players drafted. That's ridiculously close. This is a great baseball product. Like, use that to your advantage as a conference instead of showing lacrosse or field hockey I like state softball. I love state softball, but even like softball, like, baseball is the premier sport in the spring, and I just wish the ACC would go in on that a little bit deeper than what it does.
I agree. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a lot of fun to watch, and I'll be paying more attention to it next year, and large in part because of Chance, and I know a lot of people feel that way. So Chance, thanks, because not being bored talking baseball helps.
No, thank y'all for giving me an outlet to rant about all my hot techy baseball opinions.
It is my therapy. Somebody asked me the other day, like, why do you do it? It's like, man, we're state fans. We need a lot of therapy. And like, this is personal therapy for me. I guess talk out my Wolfpack related problems.
It is an outlet to talk about this with people who understand it. And I don't get that a lot. So yeah, it's nice.
That's very true. There was something else I was going to talk about. I don't know.
Let's talk some golf, baby. British Opens this week.
Yeah. All right. Here's my team. Every year I'm in a pool with major tournament, I'm in a pool with some of my friends, and we draft some players. And there's just like nine of us throwing a couple bucks, whatever. I have Spieth, Hovland, Bazadenhout, Poulter, and Higo right now. I got three picks left.
I think Hovland is a great pick. Like, I think Hovland, this is probably, in my opinion, his best chance to win a major so far.
That guy. I love watching him play. I don't remember what tournament it was. I was watching it, and the caddy's like, "You should hit this shot." And he's like, "Yeah, I think I might want to do this and that." The caddy was like, "That's a bad idea." And he's like, "I know. I just want to see how it goes." It was amazing. Like, he was just so chill.
Every time you see him, he's just like smiling from ear to ear. It's just like, it is so funny to me. I also love that he is probably the only human in the world who has spent a very large portion of his life in both Norway and Stillwater, Oklahoma. I assume there's a lot of culture shock going from Oslo, Norway to Stillwater.
That's probably why he's smiling all the time. He's like, "This is awesome. It's not cold."
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. Not everybody looks like a Viking. There you go.
Yeah. So I really like Hovland. I wanted to get him early, and I did. I think it's weird. This year, I felt like, even in all the majors, the names haven't really played well or haven't really done it. They weren't really in contention, like DJ and JT and Spieth, right? And you know, these guys, it just seems a little weird. We have a bunch of, you know, like Dustin Johnson went in the second round for the first time in I can't tell you how long, you know. It's been years. That's
pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's like it's weird that, you know, Bryson went in the second round. Yeah, it's strange. I don't know.
Yeah, what's going on with our man Bryson? He has really – he won whatever tournament it was kind of early in the year. Like, I just don't – he's been really struggling.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, you get into thinking mode, and there's no telling where that can lead you. You know, if you ever think things and start moving in one direction, and we're all susceptible to it, so maybe he's there. He looked like he was – he actually – you know, the match with him and Aaron Rodgers against Mickelson and Tom Brady, like the guy that came out of there with personality was, I thought it was Bryson. And I thought he did a lot for him. Aaron Rodgers is the most boring person on the planet, but oh God, Bryson,
oh my gosh. He was terrible.
He was good. Yeah. I really liked it. You know, I like watching him play cause he's different and he's interesting, but his personality there really kind of stood out to me.
Yeah, I definitely think he showed more personality than he typically does. I know he's been in the news a lot for like his caddy split up. I don't really know the whole backstory behind that. I know he hired Brian Ziegler, who's like a coach at like, or a teacher at like Dallas National, to be his new caddy. Hopefully that'll work out for him. I know that not a lot of people like Bryson, but I do, and I hope he plays well, and I hope he wins the British. Unfortunately, like, one of the biggest guys I think is going to have a great week. He's quietly had a good year. Is Patrick Reed? I mean, he won the Farmers Insurance in January. He's finished top 20 in every major. I think Patrick Reed is going to have a really good chance to win. I think Tommy Fleetwood at 33-1 is kind of some sneaky good odds. I like Fleetwood a lot this week. And anytime you go over there across the pond, like, gotta like Rory, right? I always feel like he plays well over there, even though he hasn't won a British in a while. Like, I think he's going to play well this week. He's kind of been slowly putting it together, I feel like, too.
I'll tell you what, he would have won the PGA, and I think he would have won the Masters if he was putting well. He was hitting the ball, especially in the PGA. Or was the US Open? US Open and the PGA. He was hitting the ball so well and could not make anything. He was just hanging around the leaderboard, and his putter has just left him. If he figures that out, man, and these greens aren't fast, so it'll probably help him. Watch out. I think he's due to blow one of these doors off one of these things.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. So what time are you getting up to watch golf Thursday and Friday?
I'm usually up before the sun comes up anyway, so I'll be up to watch it.
I know coverage this year, it's like earlier than usual. It's almost like a late night. Like coverage starts like 1 a.m. both days. Like usually it's like 3 or 4. This year it's like 1.
They do a great job. I think I'm not sure if it was between them and the Masters. The British Open, and I'll call it the British Open because I always will, does a great job of allowing people to watch it. They give you all kinds of mediums to watch it, and the coverage is usually pretty good.
So, I will say since the PGA Championship, and the PGA Championship isn't really a major, it's just kind of this tournament that they put emphasis on. Like it's really not a major, it's just a tournament. Since their partnership with ESPN, and since ESPN kind of introduced ESPN Plus, like I will say the PGA, that has become really fun to watch. And it has kind of added some much needed excitement to that. I wish the PGA as a whole would put more emphasis on that. Like I loved when they went to Harding Park last year. I think it would be awesome if the PGA kind of found its identity as going to a municipal every year. It's like Harding Park was, that makes it more accessible. That was the big thing last September or whenever it was that everybody can go play Harding Park and it costs like $60. Like, that is what the PGA Championship should do to make itself more accessible. And let's just be real, like, kind of add something halfway interesting to the PGA Championship. Like, that sounds really bad, but the PGA Championship has been the redheaded stepchild for years now. The Players, to me, has more of a major feel than the PGA Championship does. And I hate saying that, but it's true.
Yeah, you're not wrong. A couple of football things I wanted to go back to. I totally skipped over. State has – so Darius Edmondson, safety, super fast safety from Lewisburg, was going to – he transferred in, and I guess he was going to be counting towards the 2023 class, which would be next year. But apparently he's going to practice this summer, and he's going to be enrolled. That puts State at like 5 scholarships over. I'm curious what's going to happen.
Who's getting cut, man?
That's right. There's 1,000 wide receivers, so maybe some of those guys. But I just wonder, are they
Probably Chris Scott Jr.
Will's gonna rage.
Will hates me enough already. I just kind of had to stick that in there just to kind of get under Will's skin. But yeah,
I don't know. It's gonna be interesting.
I saw where Edmondson was gonna enroll in 2021. I don't think he'll play at all this year. Maybe some special teams. Maybe like gunning on punts. I don't know. But good for him. He's a Nash County guy. So shout out to him.
The other one was the rivals' predicted order of finish for the Atlantic. And I had the image up, and now I lost it. So rivals, ACC sports writers do their projections for who's going to end up where. And I'm talking until I can find this picture. And I lost it. But it had your...
I got it right here.
You got, all right, see?
Chance. Yeah, so in the Atlantic, it was Clemson, State, Boston College, Florida State, Louisville, Wake, and then Syracuse. That was obviously top to bottom. And then top to bottom in the Coastal, it was Carolina, Miami, Pittsburgh, Virginia Tech, Virginia, Georgia Tech, and Duke.
Other than the obvious, they picked us second. Well, all right, let's talk about that. They picked us second, and I'm frankly surprised just because nobody ever acknowledges us in that regard. You know, they usually put us right in the middle. I wonder what is driving that. Like, what is the intention? What are the people talking about, or what's giving us the, you know, that love there, right? Is it Leary's potential? Is it bunch of guys returning? I don't know.
I think it's like the guys returning, but if you look at that, if you use that same formula, I mean, Wake is returning 20 of 22 starters, and Wake was sixth in the Atlantic Division. So that is what my mind immediately went to, but then I was like, they can't use that formula for us and then just kind of disregard it for Wake. But, you know, it's also sports journalism, so who knows?
Sports and journalism, those things don't mix most of the time. State, Boston College, Florida State, Louisville, Wake Forest. Boston College is getting a lot of love, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I know they have a good offensive line and a quarterback. I'll give them that. I don't know if they have the rest. Zay Flowers.
I also think their schedule, in my opinion, is kind of favorable. I mean, they play their out-of-conference schedule is Colgate at Temple, Massachusetts, and I think they get Missouri at home. And I mean, I know Missouri's an SEC team, but, Missouri in Chestnut Hill will be a pretty good game, I think. Their crossovers from the Coastal are Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech. I can't remember who they play at home and who they play on the road. So, I mean, that is right there. That is very much so potentially 6-0 before they even play one Atlantic Division team. So, I think Boston College is good. I think that's going to be a tough game for State because Djokovic is good. Like, let's be real. I don't know much about Boston College outside of the fact that, yeah, they have a good offensive line. Yeah, Djokovic is good. I think Jeff Havley is going to do really well there. But I'll be interested to see how they fare because the Atlantic is such like a jumbled mess. Like, from 2-6, Wake is, like I said, returning a ridiculous chunk of their team. Florida State, who knows what they're going to have with Mackenzie Milton, and FSU is always going to have talent, even they're just because of their brand. Even if they're not good at all, they still have talent. Boston College is going to be decent, and I think we're going to be pretty solid. So the literally 2-6 in the Atlantic Division is a jumbled mess.
I think so, too. I thought Wake Forest at 6 was really low. I mean, I get Florida State's going to have talent, and there's some big unknowns with Mackenzie Milton. But I think Wake will probably. I think Wake's a better team there. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I don't know. I think
Wake being below Louisville to me is criminal.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Syracuse at the bottom is the only thing that's pretty much accurate, I believe.
Well, let's be real, Evan. Clemson at the top is also accurate. I know Evan is convinced we're beating Clemson.
We're beating Clemson. You heard it here first.
I hope you're right, Evan. I genuinely, I mean, there's nobody in the world who would be happier than celebrating, like, the first big full capacity state football game as a student. Like, there's nobody in the world who would be happier than state beating Clemson for that one. But I just
see.
Oh, golly.
Memories.
I hope there will be some memories from that game, but I just think Clemson's too good. I think this is going to be probably the worst team that Clemson has had in a couple years, but I still think they're going to go 12-0. They might lose to Georgia in week one, but I still think Clemson's going to go 12-0. I think Uyunglele, or however you say his name, is going to be good. As long as Dabo and Vendables are there, they're going to be top tier. I mean, they're going to be good.
I'm going to have a podcast, and it's just going to be you and Will saying hard names. It's
going to be amazing. Gosh. I can barely pronounce easy things, and usually I don't most of the time. Every time I say Greensboro on the podcast, I get made fun of in the comments. So, yeah, I can't pronounce easy things, much less complicated things.
In the coastal, it's Carolina, Miami, Pittsburgh, Virginia Tech, Virginia, Georgia Tech, Duke. I think 1-6 is pretty wide open in that division too. I don't know. It's going to be weird. I don't think anybody there is very good.
Yeah, I don't think anyone in the coastal division is going to be great. At the end of the day, I do think Carolina is going to win it, just because I just don't think the coastal division as a whole is great. I mean, King is good at Miami, and I think Miami will have a shot at beating Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I could see the winner of that division going like 5-3 in the conference. What's new,
That's probably right. Yeah, right. 4-4 coastal winner.
Yeah.
Somebody in the pod chat asked a good question the other day. If State were to go 11-1, who would you rather beat? That would mean losing to one of these teams. Would you rather beat Clemson, or would you rather beat Carolina?
That is a fantastic question. And when I kind of thought about it some, I almost feel guilty saying this, because I don't think it is the right answer, but it's my answer. But I'm going to go with Carolina. If we were 11-0 going into the Carolina game at home and lost, I think I'd commit suicide.
All right. Yes, I thought about this a lot after we had talked about it. And it's got to be Clemson. Because if you beat Clemson, you win the division.
That certainly does more for the program. There's no doubt. But I do not think I could take being 11-0 and losing to Carolina.
So hypothetically, you beat Clemson, you win the Atlantic, you lose to Carolina last game of the year, and then you have to play Carolina again the following week in the ACC championship.
There's no way I could take two State Carolina games in 8 days. No way. 0% chance. I'm well aware that the Clemson win would do more for the program, but that would be the most NC State thing of all time, would be being 11-0 and losing to Carolina to screw up a perfect regular season. That right there would be ultimate NC State. But look, I hope we're in that situation. Hope we're 11-0 headed into the Carolina game. Evan, I think, is convinced we're going to be. I hope we've already punched our ticket to the ACC championship headed into that Carolina game.
I haven't gotten my hotel room for Charlotte yet. Let's just say that.
Oh my gosh.
I think we will beat Clemson, but I feel like we should be better than a lot of those teams. Part of me is hesitant because we haven't seen all that we can do. Like, we haven't seen Tim Beck, you know, with a quarterback and with time and all those things. And we haven't seen Tony Gibson with a defense of very capable athletes. I think a defense is going to be underrated. But we haven't seen it, you know, and I still have some question marks. And I go, you know, we talked about before that Miami game, you know, blitzing on that in that particular situation. Can, you know, I don't know. So part of me thinks we've got all the pieces there. And I think it's a State fan in me that's hesitant to say, you know, we're going to be amazing. Because I realistically understand that BC will be a tough game. Wake will be tough, right? These games we always play close. I think we have the edge this year, you know?
I certainly agree that I think the pieces are there. And you talked about the defense being underrated. I think it's kind of flying under the radar, like State adding Durden, Fagan, and Pitts to this defense. Like, that's something I haven't really seen talked about a lot, but I feel like it should be. I think those guys are all going to be three big contributors. And I agree, the defense, I think, could be one of the better ones in the ACC and maybe statistically even in the country. Hopefully Gibson will kind of rally the troops a bit. I know there were some frustrations with him last year, particularly the game against Miami. That could have been huge for Doran as just kind of a perspective standpoint of like that could have probably been his biggest win at State. So I do think they're going to have a chance to be good. Like, I'm not at all doubting that. I think it is the natural pessimist in me that's just like, oh, here we go again. Like, I'm being told how good we're going to be. I actually bumped into, funny story, I bumped into Mark Thomas, who does the pregame show for the Wolfpack Sports Network in church Sunday. And we said pretty much the exact same thing. It's going to be that Mississippi State game, man. That game in the Starkville is huge from a perspective standpoint.
That's funny. Yeah. Of course, Mark Thomas is going to say that.
Right.
He's an interesting one. I think don't know where I'm going with this. I don't know. I had something else here. What was it? No, there's some questions, but I think I'll answer them later. It's getting late, and our new sponsor sent me some sample product, and I'm ready to go to bed.
There we go.
I got to say, there was a couple things that housekeeping stuff. Ed from L.A. I know you said Dallas, but shout out Ed from L.A. to me. One, I didn't get your last message. Emailed and said he sent a message. And then two, sorry, I saw your text messages too. And I was logged out of that account and just did not even see it. Just picked up those things. And then Brandon, left us a voice message in February talking about basketball. And I somehow completely glazed over it. I apologize. But his gripe was essentially, I don't know if Keith's going to get us over the top. And I think everybody here agrees with that. It's there's some question marks there with basketball. And, he said that his message was in late February, and it wasn't even after they had some semblance of a run, so to speak, there at the end when I think they won 6 of 7 or something like that.
All those road games. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a bunch of road games. People always ask me, or like Chance, it's always amazing how much stuff he can remember. For me, it goes in one, out the other. I watch the game, I can remember it for a little while, and then boom, it's gone. And I won't forget it. I won't remember it at all. I have no idea why, but it's just how my brain works. Like things like that. Like, I remember it last year. We talked about it a bunch, but it's gone. It was something, 6 road games in a row or something like that.
Something like that. Something we hadn't done since 1974. Quite a big difference between this past season and 1974.
But anyway, Ed and Brandon, apologize, missed your messages. As always, we appreciate them. If you want to leave us a message, easiest way is to use the website, the anchor.fm podcast website, and there's a little messages button. You just hold your recorder and go. Or you can use your voice recorder app and email at redandwhitepodcast@gmail.com, and we'll get it. Those are always the great ones. They're always interesting. And I want to keep encouraging that. So apologize, folks, for not seeing your messages prior. I will rectify that, and I'll blame Will somehow. But anyway, that's all I got. We will be back because there are some football things I wanted to get Will's input on. So I'll try to wrangle him and do another podcast later this week. But Chance, enjoy beach life. Can't wait to get you back to regular internet. And thanks for staying up late for me.
Yes, sir. Will do. Go Pack.
Go Pack. I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves.